here with what it says in the papers is Ronan Kelly.
Thanks, Audrey. Tents, that's how the papers are this morning. Tents, the camping kind, specifically the ones on Mount Street in Dublin used by asylum seekers. The Irish Independent calls it a tent city. It quotes Simon Harris saying it'll be cleared beginning today. The Irish Daily Star quotes him as describing it as a shanty town. And the Star headline, see a shanty. Danny Duval in the Irish Daily Mirror interviews a man living in one of the tents. He's originally from Pakistan and had a job in a coffee shop in London and lived in rented accommodation there. He speaks with a strong British accent. He told Danny that he flew to Belfast and then got the bus down to Dublin because he doesn't want to go to Rwanda. He says, it's not a safe country, mate. Another man the Mirror spoke to on Mount Street is from Afghanistan. He'd been living in Belgium for 3 years, where his asylum application had been refused. He then got a small boat from France across to Britain, then a ferry from Liverpool to Belfast and the bus to Dublin. He's 25. The Irish Times main front page story in the crisis tells us that the government says there'll be a plan for deportations to the UK within weeks. Inside the paper, cartoonist Martin Turner has another suggestion. In his cartoon, he shows asylum seekers being given Irish passports. The second panel explains that now, because they're young and Irish, they'll head off to live in London anyway. Hospital overcrowding is the other story preoccupying the papers this morning. The Irish Daily Mail reports that University Hospital Limerick was the most overcrowded in the state during April. The Irish Examiner says those April figures show that countrywide, 11,000 patients were on trolleys last month, 250 of them children. While The Independent reports that in an attempt to cut those trolley numbers, two new hospitals will open in Dublin, in Blanchardstown and Crumlin. These will each have 25 theatres and will cater for high-volume day procedures. Building on the hospitals won't begin for another 2 years at least, the paper says. Back to the front page of the Irish Times, which says that one of the three new reports into RTE has been delivered by Professor Niamh Brennan of UCD. The paper notes that while she says there were multiple compliance failings in the organisation, she doesn't apportion blame on any one senior figure, but rather collective failings among numerous individuals. The Irish Times front page also carries a large photo of two women holding a photo, and it's of their late father. The women are Patricia and Tracy McDade, whose father Terry was shot dead by loyalist paramilitaries in Belfast in 1988. It was a case of mistaken identity. The gunmen also tried to kill their mother, but she fought back and survived. The inquest into Terry McDade's death is one of those that will not now go ahead because of the introduction of the British government's Legacy Act. The act dominates the two northern papers today. The Irish News front page describes it as a painful day for families seeking answers. The Belfast Telegraph front page has photos of bombings and shootings from the Troubles, and under those the headline, Never Forget. It quotes the son of a murdered RUC man saying, today is a day of infamy. Carbon and its impact on global warming and its impact on our pockets features in the papers this morning. The Independent tells us, as you heard in the bulletin, that because of an increase in carbon tax today, the prices of heating oil, coal and gas will go up. However, a couple of pages over, the paper reports that last year our carbon emissions from oil and gas were at their lowest for the past 30 years. But those gains were wiped out by a surge in the sale of jet fuel. The Examiner says, those figures from the Sustainable Energy Authority show that demand for aviation fuel last year was the highest ever recorded. And back to The Independent for a story advising parents to take their kids' warnings seriously. A three-year-old toddler in California had been telling her parents for months that there were monsters in the wall of her bedroom. The parents put this down to the fact that she had just seen Monsters, Inc. and they gave her a bottle of water to use as a monster spray to scare them away. However, the child's mother then saw bees swarming around the chimney of the house and they called in a beekeeper who discovered that there was a hive in the wall of the little girl's bedroom. When they hoovered it out and counted them, they discovered that the monsters in the wall were 65,000 bees.
Ronan, thank you. I love the idea of a monster spray. Wouldn't it be great if a monster spray could solve everything?